celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Welcome to the show. If you are one of those that takes your animal to a groomer to be groomed, like Joey Villani, or maybe even like a big box store, you're going to want to be listening up today. Joey's always been talking about the fact that there is no regulation or licensing for groomers. It could be somebody who's very experienced grooming your dog or somebody who's not very experienced. And we've heard of many, many accidents and fatalities over the last few years from just, you know, you drop the dog off at the groomer and then suddenly
you get that call.
And nobody wants that call. But there's legislation in the works, especially in the state of New Jersey, to license and regulate groomers. And Joey Villani, of course, our very own Joey Villani, very proud of this, is working very hard to make that happen.
Yeah, I want to see this happen. I really do. And, I mean, this is something that should have happened a long time ago for a number of reasons. And I'm proud of the state of New Jersey that's actually taking it serious, because these bills have gone up on the table in many states before, and they've died mainly because they didn't think that the issue was great enough. And a lot has to do with funding as well. I do get it. I know the process well with my union background. But New Jersey has taken this serious and said, you know, this is a problem. This needs to be recognized. And, you know, once one state goes, it's going to have a domino effect. So hopefully this will work out for everyone.
New Jersey was in the forefront of getting seatbelts or making sure that your animals were seatbelted in.
Were they?
They'll pull you over, yes.
And we'll talk a little bit about that later on today also. So Bijou's Law, this is the law that you keep talking about. And you've been telling us that we should get this Rosemary Marchetto on. What's her story?
Well, the dog's name is Bijou. That's where it comes from.
That was her dog?
It's her dog. It was a Shih Tzu. It was dropped off at the grooming salon. I don't know exactly what happened, but the groomer said that the day wasn't going well, and the next thing that she, you know, she got a phone call 45 minutes, an hour later, that the dog passed. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that the groomer did anything negligent, but number one, sometimes the words you use can come back and haunt you. That's number one. And number two, if the person was licensed and there were safeguards in place, maybe the person would feel comfortable. Maybe questions that should be asked before you drop your pet off. And I talk about this, you know, how many times in my tips I talk about, you know, interviewing your pet groomer. Maybe these things, maybe it would have been different. You know, maybe the situation might not have, but maybe it would have. But we'll never know now.
Okay, so you booked Rosemary, Judy?
Yes, I did.
She'll be on to tell us her story. And she's actually very involved in the legislation.
Oh, yeah, she's right in it. And I'm going to be honest with you. When I first got involved, I was expecting to meet a nut. I really was, because I've heard. And then I started dealing with her, and I said, you know, this woman really has her act together, and she did a lot of research. And you know what? Listen, we don't want one pet to die, you know. So hearing her story, and whether it could have been prevented or not, but when you listen to Rosemary's story today, you'll see why it's necessary.
Okay, that's on the way in just a few minutes. But first, it is your story. Judy's screening your calls right now. And in about 15 minutes, we'll do a quick check of the news with Miss Lori Brooks. What's on for this hour?
Well, Amazon's Alexa might be really helpful to we pet owners.
Really?
Well, I'm not a big Alexa fan. I can't imagine talking to something at all. Like, it would drive me crazy.
Said the radio host.
Yeah. radio's ancient technology compared to today. Okay. But if you like the Alexa kind of stuff, there is a way that Alexa might be really helpful to you.
Okay, that's on the way in just a few minutes. Which one are we going to, Judy?
We're going to go to line one.
Hi, Cynthia. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Where are you today?
I am in Florida, Winter Haven, Florida.
Oh, sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it's pretty nice here today.
What do you got going on today with your pets?
I adopted a mixed breed from the animal shelter here, the county animal shelter. Mm. She is part Schnauzer, part Fox Terrier. She's 7 months old now and weighs approximately 11 pounds. When I got her, she had worms, a terrible worms, hookworms and tapeworms. And okay. It took us over 2 months to get rid of them. Now, within the last couple of months, she has become incontinent on and off. It's not every day.
Okay. With her urine or with her poop?
Her urine. She'll go for weeks, I mean for days, and be fine. And then she'll be sitting on you, you know, sleeping at night or laying up in your lap or something. And all of a sudden you feel wet.
Mm, okay.
And a couple of days ago, it was all day long. I actually put a baby diaper on her.
But okay, so she was leaking urine. She's leaking when she's awake and when she's asleep?
Yes.
Okay.
It just seems to be worse when she's asleep. And she doesn't know she's doing it. I mean, she just lays, she'll be laying there with you awake and wetting on you, and it's like she has no clue she's doing this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. Yeah. And you know what? As far as, I don't know that I can make a case of anything with the worms being related to this, but when we do see puppies that have this kind of problem, the first thing I always want to do is check a urine sample and make sure we don't have any kind of infection present.
Yes, I did take in a urine sample, and they tested it for diabetes and infection, and they both came back okay.
Came back good. Okay. Now, because that moves us to some other concerns that can be a little bit trickier to deal with. And there are some types of congenital problems that we can see that cause a dog to be incontinent and dribbling. And if she's doing this pretty much day and night, then I would definitely talk to your veterinarian about, you know, checking for something called an ectopic ureter. There can be a lot of things that cause dogs to dribble urine. But puppies, especially if we pick this up in a young dog, it can be sometimes a sign that they have this type of problem. And it's basically where their plumbing isn't draining to the bladder in the right way, so that they can actually have a constant flow of urine down to their lower area of their urinary tract. So, and if that's present, it's something that can be really tricky to deal with, but diagnosing it is really the first step. And often you have to use special dyes and take x-rays with these special dyes to really pick it up. So I hope that's not what she has, but it would be something that comes to my mind first and foremost. If we're not talking about a problem with her having some kind of infection or some other type of anatomical problem. And, you know, little dogs can have problems in their vaginal areas. There's all sorts of different things. So I would really say that would warrant me to look at things a little bit more closely, and especially if that's in such a young baby. I'd be looking for that.
Also, she was spayed before she was 3 months old.
Oh,
and
okay.
I just wonder.
Yeah, and you know that's
went on there.
Yeah, and you know, female dogs can have some continence issues related to being spayed. It's not terribly common, but you know, we can see that. So, you know, that might even be something that if she was already, and that surgery's already behind her, that, you know, we can even investigate that possibility. And that would be something, not that I want to say it's good, but I would much rather her have some kind of hormone incontinence than to have this other condition that I'm talking about, because a hormone incontinence, we can definitely help that with medicines. And there's a couple different varieties out there if that were the case for her. So, I would make sure that, you know, if that urine test came up negative, I'd say, Hey doc, we gotta go further here. Let's take this next step. I don't want her dribbling, and I don't want her living like this. So, you know, I would definitely pick up that phone and say we need to do something, and let's see if we need to get her on a medicine or look into this further.
Okay.
Thank you, Cynthia, for your call today. We wish you all our love and luck.
Thank you.
Can you wish someone love? I think she knows. She knows what I mean, right? You know what I
yeah.
mean.
Well, this portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Kensington Books. If you love stories about finding strength through the wisdom of dogs, look no further than A Reason for Hope by award-winning author Kristen von Kreisler. It's a beautifully uplifting story about a courthouse dog named Hope, who's trained to comfort victims throughout the legal process. A Reason for Hope is now available everywhere books are sold. And if you need more information, you can visit them over at kensingtonbooks.com. Thanks, Kensington, for underwriting Animal Radio.
It's Alan Cable. Hope you're doing well. And now for your listening pleasure, a baby and a husky imitating each other. You know, a big consideration for most folks when they go out to get a new dog are the kids. So I'm going to tell you which breeds experts say are the best with kids. And number 5, the durable bulldog. He's got a sweet disposition and he tires out real easily. And number 4, a breed that seems to be disappearing. You don't see very many anymore, maybe because they're so energetic and they need so much exercise. The Irish Setter, one of my personal favorites. These guys are fun-loving comedians. They're really sweet dogs. But again, they need tons of exercise. The top 3 coming up after the husky and the baby go at it imitating each other again. Reminds me of that movie Ted with Mark Wahlberg. At number 3 on the list of best dogs to get when you have kids, the poodle. They're loyal, tolerant, and they shed very little. So they're a really good dog to get if your child might have allergies. Again, though, despite what Joey Villani says, research shows that dogs can be embarrassed. So please don't make your poodle look like Lady Gaga. We're counting down the top breeds that are great with kids. At number 2 on the list, the Labrador Retriever. These dogs are loyal, protective, and they love to play. They also come in 3 colors, white, black, and brown. And the number 1 best dog to get if you have kids, according to the experts, the Golden Retriever. Golden Retrievers are very loyal and patient dogs. You know how little kids are, and Goldens will put up with a lot. But it's still very important to remember, no matter what kind of dog you have, and no matter how sweet and loving he is, never leave your dog alone with your child. Your dog might not mean to hurt your child, but because he's so much bigger, it could easily happen. Thank you, baby and husky. This is Alan Cable, and next time, a great training technique. Remember, good dog.
This is Animal Radio, baby.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. That's 800-485-4409.
Hey, this is Brian DiTillo. I play Lucas Roberts on Days of Our Lives, and you're listening to Animal Radio. And please don't forget to have your pets spayed or neutered. That's my favorite saying from Bob Barker, by the way.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Coming up this hour, we'll talk a little bit about restraining your animals in the car. Raise your hands if you have not seen this. Somebody driving their pickup truck, and there's a dog in the back of the pickup truck.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Worse than that, I've actually seen guys driving flatbed trucks with a dog standing on the flatbed.
There's not even a
2 to 3 foot side around it.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I thought most states had to have laws that if you had a dog in the back, that they had to be tethered somehow.
Well, they say that is not very safe because if the dog
then
is tethered around
hung.
Their neck, then they fly, they immediately get strangulated.
Ooh. And, I think some of this gets down to culture, too, because I go through some areas where there's a lot of farm country.
Yep.
And those are working dogs that are on the back of those flatbed trucks or the back of a horse trailer. And they're expected to do that. So, it's a different way of life.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're saying to yourself right now, hey, I don't do that. My dog travels with me in the car. In fact, my dog travels on my lap.
Head
out the window on my lap. That's not good either, folks.
Thump on the head.
We're going to yap about it. We have award-winning car columnist Tim Spell joining us in a spell right here on Animal Radio. Lori, what are you working on for this hour?
Well, a police dog done wrong, big time, by his human partner. But this story has a happy ending.
Let's hit the phones. For Dr. Debbie right now, we have Cindy. Hi, Cindy. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. How can we help you today?
Well, I've got a question about my little chihuahua.
Huh.
All right.
She has been having problems. She's about 4 years old, and she has been having problems for about the last 3 years or so with her ears getting inflamed and irritated. And first time it happened, I took her to the vet, and we got drops, and we did the drops, and she got better. And then she chews on her feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last time I talked to him, he said, well, have her take half a Benadryl, a children's Benadryl a day, and see if that helps. But my question is, I have heard all of these ads for Dynavite, mm-hmm. and it talks about some of the symptoms that my dog's having with the itching, the ears, and the feet and everything. And I was wondering, Dr. Debbie, what you think about the Dynavite.
Okay. Well, you know, I guess the first thing that I'm going to kind of back up to is when we hear about a pet that's chewing their feet, licking their feet, scratching, having frequent ear infections, to me, really jumps out that we really need to talk about potential allergies and secondary problems with that. So there's definitely some steps that we can do along that avenue. Now, products such as Dynavite, they have some pretty big claims, and there are some definite nutritional problems with the skin that we can see a benefit with supplements. There's zinc-responsive dermatitises. There's problems when pets have dry skin, and they can benefit from the fatty acids. So I don't think for some things it's a bad idea, but, you know, I'd say if your pet is displaying those signs, I'd really say let's back up, and I'd want to look at what we can do. If Benadryl doesn't do the trick and doesn't make her comfortable, then we might need to take it a step up. And I always like to go to address the concept of food allergies, because that's a real common problem in dogs, and it's something that we can try, and with the right direction, we can get your pet on a diet that might help with some of these symptoms.
Right.
A lot of pets have both things. They have seasonal allergies, they have food allergies, they can have bacterial infections, yeast infections, so they all kind of come together. So something as simple as a supplement isn't going to help all of those things. So I'd really want to make sure we're focusing on what we need to do for your baby. And part of that is to kind of look at the skin, get some samples, and, you know, especially if we've been battling these ears, ears are skin. So whether your vet deals with it or you see a dermatologist, there's a lot more that we can do to kind of delve into this problem and try some other therapies. I mean, you didn't mention beyond, you know, the ear medicine. Has there been anything other than the Benadryl that you've tried?
No. Have you tried some different food?
Yeah, and I'd say especially if she does tend to have a sensitive tummy, then we want to kind of go cautiously here. So I'm not just saying go to the pet store, pick out a brand, and try it and see. Work with your veterinarian on this, because they can help advise you on things that might be wise to try. There's different ways when we're talking about a food allergy in dogs where we can go to what we call a limited ingredient diet. Things like used to be lamb and rice used to be a great limited ingredient diet. So commonplace now, and dogs get allergies to it. So it's just natural. It happens with time. So we might try something different, like fish and potato or venison and potato. So that's one way we can go. Another way might be to try some of the veterinary grade prescription foods, which are for pets with food allergies. And you'll have to see what your vet carries and what they recommend. But there's a couple good ones out there. And, you know, going slow when we try a transition is always advised, so we don't get that tummy upset and pay afterwards. But that might be something to commit to for a month or two and see how her skin responds and see, you know, if those signs improve. And I think that would be a great thing for you to try, Cindy. So
okay.
I'd encourage you.
Good
All
luck,
right.
Cindy.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Bye.
Well, this portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Kensington Books. Curl Up with the 12 Days of Snowball by Kristen McKenna. It's an adorably funny novel featuring a matchmaking cat named Snowball. The 12 Days of Snowball. It's a perfect read for animal lovers or anyone looking for romance. Pick up your copy today anywhere books are sold, or visit KristenMcKenna.com. That's KristenMcKenna.com. And thanks, Kensington, for underwriting Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, this is Creston. Of course, you know me as the amazing Creston. and you're listening to me on Animal Radio. Don't forget to spade and neuter those loved ones which we've bonded with, our pets.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing and always need to stick your fingers to test your blood sugar. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. Apply a discrete sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger sticks. If you are living with type 1 or type 2 diabetes, and you administer insulin 3 or more times per day, or use an insulin pump, you might be eligible for a CGM through your insurance benefits. U.S. Med partners with over 500 private insurance companies and Medicare. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill your insurance. Call us today for a free benefits check.
800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. 800-785-1673. That's 800-785-1673.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
And I'm Lori Brooks. During these shorter days of winter that we've got on hand, we and our pets get a whole lot less sun. But guess what? This can affect our pets the same way it does humans, causing SAD, or seasonal affective disorder. And, you know, starting in the fall, as the days get shorter, we have a lot less sunshine. That decreases the feel-good brain hormone serotonin and boost the sleep-inducing hormone called melatonin. So it's no surprise then that pets with their similar brain chemistry to ours may also suffer from SAD. A survey by a British veterinary organization has found that 1 in 3 dog owners notice their pet becoming less playful and appearing depressed, lethargic, and, you know, the like during the winter, kind of dreary months. Some symptoms, experts say, that may indicate that your pet is experiencing seasonal affective disorder include aggressive behavior or soiling inappropriately, demanding more attention or appearing to be withdrawn, frequent barking, excessive barking, reduced appetite and weight loss, and sleeping more than usual, or less interest in going for walks or playing when they, you know, normally love that kind of stuff. So how do you combat SAD, or seasonal affective disorder, in your dog? Well, it's pretty much the same way that humans find relief, and that would be with artificial sunlight in the form of a light box, mostly. Or you can always, not or, but you can supplement with opening your drapes or your shades and take more walks outside, of course. That'll get some more light. A former police dog named Ringo, who was thought to be living happily in retirement with his handler, turns out was dumped at a Mississippi animal shelter recently. But because Ringo was microchipped, the shelter called the dog's trainer, who had had him chipped. Ringo had worked 9 years for the Jackson Police Department in Mississippi, which looked into the matter, they said, and they have since reassigned the dog's former handler to patrol duty. And most say that's a demotion. But the good news here is that the trainer, the one who got the call, well, when he got the call from the shelter that Ringo was there and up for adoption, he went to the shelter right away and adopted Ringo. He says, thanks, everybody. Ringo's got a home, and he's going to be here forever now. Oh. And Vet 24/7 has launched My Pet Doc. It's an Alexa skill that is the world's first artificial intelligence smart vet. So now you pet parents with a smart health question, you can talk with My Pet Doc on Alexa and get veterinarian-backed answers to your concerns. In fact, once My Pet Doc has answered your questions, you can then choose to speak immediately with a licensed vet for more guidance, but that charge is about $25.
Oh,
but
wow.
Still, I don't.
So yeah. Dr. Google now has Dr. Alexa?
Yeah, apparently it.
Yeah, yeah. I knew you weren't going to be happy about that. I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. I would go crazy if I had to ask I wouldn't even say, Alexa, what's the weather today? I would just drive me nuts.
I do it, but I get very angry because Siri, I talk to, and Siri does not understand when I'm losing my temper to please listen closer.
Siri's not very bright.
She screws it all up. Yeah, she doesn't
Who's
understand
smarter,
what
Siri
I'm saying.
Siri or Alexa?
I don't know. I don't do Alexa.
There's actually a survey out there.
Is there?
That puts them all to test.
Do they have results yet?
They do have results, and they try them with a bunch of different accents, people with different accents, to see if they
so
can
do
answer.
You know the results?
Google usually top the list in most places. And I don't know what their assistant's name is.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
say, what's Google?
Oh, I have that on one of my computers. It's, what is it called?
It
does have a name?
It does have a name. Yeah, and I've seen the name on, heard the name on commercials as well.
Everybody in the studios to their phone.
Yeah. Microsoft.
Who's going to get it first?
Can't you just ask Google or ask Alexa? What's Google?
Cortana.
She actually has it. See, I did not know that.
Microsoft has a Cortana.
Well, she is better at directions than
Wait,
Siri.
Microsoft has Cortana. What is
Google? Does Google have a different one then?
Google says Siri.
No, that's Siri. That's Apple.
Google says.
We're such a wealth of misinformation here.
We need a millennial on this show.
Yes, we do.
I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Hi, this is NASCAR driver Corey Joyce on Animal Radio and spay and neuter your pets.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
I believe we have Roger on the phone. Hey, Roger.
How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Trying to get home.
Where's home?
Grand Island, Nebraska.
Nebraska. Okay. How can we help you today?
I called a couple weeks ago and told you about my four-legged heroes. Well, one of my heroes has a problem. Actually, both of them do, but the one I want to address right now is a cat. We have our computer in the living room, and we have our office chair there, and the old one, he just shredded it from his claws, you know, digging in. And we bought a new chair, and we're trying to keep him away from it. I even gave him the old chair and put it in a room where he sleeps all the time, and that doesn't even do any good. He still likes that new chair. Something we could do different.
Well, you gave him a brand new chair. He's thanking you. and that's not unusual. I've had that happen before where people will, you know, get a whole new couch, they put a new one in there, and the kitty does the same behavior because it's still the same place, it's the same behavior. So nothing in his world has changed. So the challenge is to try to train the kitty to not use the chair as the preferred spot. So this is where, have you ever used a scratching post for him?
I have put other things up there for him to scratch on. He still likes the chair.
Yeah. Preference there. Well, there's some things we can do. And the tough thing with cats on scratching on things, we can't always do a negative deterrent. We don't want to yell at them. We don't want them to see us reprimand them because then they've associated that with us and they're not associating it with the behavior. So we really focus on positive reinforcement and then just blocking the area and cutting off access. So as positive reinforcement, that's where we get the alternate site. We get a scratching post or a kitty condo. We feed the kitty there. We throw treats. We throw catnip there. We make that a very good spot. And if you have to, you put it next to that chair or you put it somewhere where he can still see it in the environment that he wants to scratch. Because scratching is a marking behavior. It's a way that kitties in a social environment spread their scent and basically say, all is good. This is my house. They don't realize they're being destructive in the world. So we want to give him that outlet. We want to train him to that positively, make it a good thing. And then at the same time, then we can try some tips to try to keep him away from that office chair that you don't want him to use. And everybody has their different preferences. I've had some clients that have great success with the double-sided tape. Sticky paws, which is a particular type of that, you put on the area, and it just kind of feels uncomfortable for the kitty. Doesn't really hurt them, but that can be very useful. As far as you can always cover the chair with something so it feels different to the touch, because cats love the feel when they're scratching, and that's really what attracts them to that area. So if you cover the chair, at least the part he can access, with aluminum foil or even just a plastic wrap, it's going to feel different to him, and he may not have that same draw to want to scratch on that. And you can use, like, the spray bottle method. I have some clients that swear that's the best thing, but you just, the cat cannot see you direct the spray bottle or the squirt bottle at the kitty, or, you know, the game is off, and now that they're just afraid of you, and they think you're going to chase them.
Yeah.
So those are some good things. And so you can look into some other...
What kind of spray would you get?
A water mister, or you can get a squirt gun, just a small, you know, don't get out the super soaker squirt guns. There's no reason to, you know, totally soak the kitty.
But, don't use the super soaker anymore, Judy. You got to put that away. That was apparently too much.
Yeah, fire hose is too much.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But, you know, then there's some other things. And some people have some good success with some of the compressed air items that are used for training cats. If you try to keep them off of couches or counters, there's these little containers that you can buy on the internet and pet catalogs and so forth that when the pet goes by a certain area, it gives a puff of this compressed air, like you're cleaning your computer keyboard. And they don't like the sound of it. It doesn't hurt them. But you can set that up strategically in the area you don't want the kitty to go, right by that chair. And that can be another training tool that doesn't hurt, and it associates, the kitty associates the area with something they're supposed to avoid. So that might be another thing I'd try for you.
And get yourself a scratching post and teach them the right place to go. You know what we did is we took our cats and we just actually held their claws up to the scratching post and rubbed it on the scratching post so they get their scent on it. And they just went from our couch right to the scratching post. And it was really, I don't know, were we lucky? I don't know, because you hear about this problem. We know that you cannot declaw. This will cause all kinds of other problems, and I don't want to go that way with this.
But you know, another trick I found is to put their bed by the scratching post, because the first thing a cat does when he wakes up is wants to scratch.
Wants to do a little stretch. And you know what? They need to scratch and stretch. This is a part of their lifestyle. The other thing, of course, if you can afford it, cement furniture works very well.
There you go.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, everybody, this is Billy Dean, and you're listening to Animal Radio.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. That's 800-485-4409.
I'm Beth Stern on Animal Radio, and adopt from your local shelter.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. And we'll go back to the phones in just a couple of minutes for Dr. Debbie and Joey Villani. Joining us is award-winning car columnist Tim Spell. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Nice being here.
First of all, before we go to Tim here, look around the studio. Put up your hands if you use seatbelts or you restrain your animals when you drive in the car with them. Because, you know, they should be. If they're on your lap, that could cause an accident.
I'm
right?
guilty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes and no. I do both.
Yeah. I do it when I'm by myself because I don't want her running loose. But if I'm someone else, I hold her.
My interior, he has a seatbelt he wears all the time, but he sits in the front seat. And then so my big girl doesn't. She's in the back seat. But I have a seatbelt for her, but I just don't use it because she kind of moves around. And I don't want to impinge her movement. I know that's bad.
What about you, Lori?
We have the the things that clip into the seatbelt that hold them in place.
Oh, so you do restrain them.
Yeah.
Okay. Tim, what do you think of our responses here? Is that pretty much, if you were to do a cross-section of America, is that what you would hear?
No, I think probably most people don't restrain their pets at all. I think that most don't adhere to the basic safety rules, I think. So you guys are in pretty good shape.
Now, is that a law in most states to have them restrained?
No, it isn't. In some states, there's a law regarding animals in the back of pickups.
Yeah. I see that all the time, and that blows me away that the back of the pickup has your dog, and you're making turns, or if you made a sudden stop, the dog would go flying.
That's craziness.
What about sticking their heads out the window? Do you let your animals stick their heads out the window? Because we always see that dogs just love to get that fresh air.
I don't. I don't do that.
I do. My big girl, again. She just loves it. Yeah. She's got a lot of fur in her face to protect her. So
you of all people.
Yeah, that doesn't protect her eyes.
Yeah.
She has a fall. So that's that bunch of fur that's right over her nose area it does protect her. So I know. I'm bad.
Yeah, a rock from the road would come on up there and hit her in the face or eyes or something like that. It would be horrible. Unless they have goggles on. And I've seen them with goggles.
Yes.
I've never seen those.
Tim, what are some of the steps we should take when securing our animals in the car? Seems like a pain in the butt, but we should probably do it, right?
Yeah, basically, no dogs in the front seat at all. And for sure, not a dog on your lap while you're driving with its head out the window. And the problem is that both the dogs and the carriers can, if they're not properly attached or tethered to the vehicle, they can become, you know, projectiles, especially if you have a large dog. It could fly and it could hit another person. They can hit the dash. They can go right through the window. Dogs need to be properly tethered in the back seat or in a carrier. They have to be also crash proof and crash worthy tethers and carriers.
What's better for my dog? What's safer? Is it a harness or a crate?
And does their weight matter on that?
Yeah, does that matter for big dogs or small dogs?
It's critical, yes. A carrier, I would say, is always better. And the carriers should be made of a high strength material, roto molded plastic, luggage grade plastic, or a ballistic nylon. There's a lot of force in a collision. You know, if you hit a stationary object at 35 miles an hour, if you have a 60 pound dog, it becomes like almost a 3,000 pound projectile.
Whoa!
So there's a lot of force. It could go right through the windshield, or it could hit another passenger. So it's really important. And you never use a wire crate. And the placement of the crate is critical. You can put them down on the floor behind the driver and passenger seat. Or if you have a three-row SUV, which they're very popular now, if it's a smaller dog, let's say 20 pounds or less, you could put the carrier on the captain's chair in the middle. If it's a larger dog, you put them in the back seat, but never put them on that tunnel in between.
So can I get some clarification? Because when you say roto-molded plastic, are those basically the plastic solid carriers that I see come into my vet office all the time with a wire front, but they're plastics on the sides?
No, I don't think so. I think that's just regular.
That's regular. Okay.
Regular plastic. Roto-molding, it's a process that they use where the melted plastic continually rotates, and it forms a really strong single piece. Kayaks are made of it, but it's much stronger than those you're talking about.
Okay.
There's also a luggage grade plastic that's good. And a softer fabric that would work is a ballistic nylon with industrial grade stitching.
Do you have a dog?
I have three dogs.
Do you travel with them a lot? I would think as a car columnist that you probably take them everywhere.
Not everywhere. Because a lot of times I'm in test cars, and okay. So I don't leave the hair behind the test cars. But yes, I do.
And do you restrain them?
I have a crate that I have in the rear compartment of my SUV.
You should.
But I will say that I have been guilty in the past.
Sure. We all have. Tim, thank you for sitting a spell with us.
Okay. Enjoyed it, guys.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Download it now.
It's made possible by Fear-Free Happy Homes, helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear-Free, for underwriting Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Find us at animalradio.com. Log on, learn more.
Award-winning author Kristen von Kreisler is known for her novels about dogs and how they bring out the best in humans. Her newest, A Reason for Hope, is an uplifting story of resilience, redemption, and a special yellow lab named Hope, a courthouse dog who's trained to comfort victims and witnesses. When a woman's life is upended by trauma, Hope gives her the courage to seek justice. A Reason for Hope by Kristen von Kreisler is available everywhere books are sold. For more info, visit kensingtonbooks.com.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Dr. Debbie, do you take any of your dogs to a groomer?
You know what? I do occasionally. My Bouvier, Nikki, I groom her some of the time, and then I take her professionally as well.
Do you fear that the groomers aren't licensed or regulated and anybody could be grooming them?
Yeah, you know, I've gone with personal referrals, so I wouldn't. Yeah, I don't think I would ever go anywhere sight unseen. I took a personal referral.
Yeah, that's so.
It's scary. You just don't know.
Yeah. What about you, Lori? Do you take any of the bulldogs to the?
No. In fact, I bathed all three of them this morning.
So you do all your grooming yourself.
And if any breed, I would have to say, Lori, would potentially have problems, a bulldog with stress, heat, and anxiety would be one I'd be worried about outside of your house.
Yeah. Yeah, we Dremel their nails. We put them in the bathtub. They're home babies.
Full service.
And luckily, they're not Nickies. They don't have that long hair.
Yeah. And, of course, Judy, you have the wash and wear dog.
No, I just put her in the kitchen sink.
Yeah. It's pretty easy for you.
No, that's not hygienic, okay? I mean, dishes that you are going to potentially eat off of and you're washing a dog's backside, their body, there's, you know. My mother bathes her cat in the kitchen sink, and I'm like, you can't do that.
I clean it afterwards.
Yeah.
And I put down a big rubber mat, so she's not.
You know where a lot of your food is grown, right?
Yeah, in poop.
Hence the recalls, right?
Very true.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because Joey has been on my case. He says, we're working so hard to regulate the industry. And he's pushing through legislation all over the country. And he's working with a gal by the name of Rosemary Marchetto. Those Italians are hanging together and they're trying to create...
Watch out.
And they will.
They will.
Come hell or high water, they will change the laws.
Once they
here.
Set their mind on it.
Rosemary will be joining us at this hour. She had a dog by the name of Bijou. She took Bijou into a standard grooming at one of those big box stores. And within an hour, she was called and told that her animal had expired.
Oh, my.
Imagine getting that call.
No.
Yeah. So she's also behind the legislation to change things, especially in the state of New Jersey. And we'll talk with her in just a few minutes right here on Animal Radio. Lori, what are you working on for this hour?
Well, this month we've all heard, and you probably heard maybe more than you wanted to, I don't know, but about the farm bill. And maybe you didn't listen because you think, I don't live on a farm. But this farm bill has some things in it that will affect pets.
This is good. This is important. When people think farm bill, they don't think about domestic companion animals. But this has far-reaching effects, and Lori will be reporting on it in just a few minutes. But first, it is all about you from the free Animal Radio app for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry. And Judy is signaling we're going to line two. Hi, Barbara. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What's going on?
Well, I have a 10-year-old chocolate lab, and he gets hot spots.
Okay.
And he has one that's larger than a 50-cent piece, I guess like about a dollar. Silver dollar size on the right side of his neck.
Okay. Is that the only place he gets them, or does he get them other spots too?
He gets them other spots.
Okay, such as?
No. He gets it on his legs, on his back.
Okay. All right.
George's tail.
Okay. So, and what have you tried so far with this fellow?
My neighbor gave me a spray for that she said she got from her vet for hot spots.
Mm-hmm.
So I spray that on him. And I was just wondering if there was anything else that I could do for him.
Oh, definitely. Now, how long has he been dealing with these hot spots?
Well, I've had him since he was two. He's my son's ex-girlfriend's dog that I was to have temporarily until she found a house that would accept pets.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, I've had him since he was two, so he's still with me.
Okay. All right. Well, when we have some ongoing issues with these type of lesions, and we call hot spots that basically because they're really hot, they're really itchy, they're red, they're really driving the pets crazy. So if they can lick at them or chew at them, they are gonna. And scratching, all of that, very much involved with a hot spot. So for me, if we have an ongoing problem with that, or what we're trying isn't working, we really need to step up to some other therapies. Okay. The reality is with hot spots, you know, we're kind of classifying a lot of skin conditions into this kind of lump all term. There actually are a lot of different causes for hot spots, but 30% of them, one third, there's usually some underlying problem. So if you only treat them with the topical, with the spray, you're not going to get to the heart of the problem and you're not going to really solve the problem. For those pets, it's very important to treat more aggressively and to get some background information, maybe do a couple skin tests, find out more about what's going on that skin surface. And there's a lot of things your vet can do from just pressing a microscope slide to the skin surface to take in some samples, checking for mites, checking for fleas. Those kind of things are really important. So we head down the right direction here.
Okay.
So that would certainly be the thing. Now, for me, there's three main points that when I'm treating a hot spot. Number one, I want to stop the licking. So that usually means physical help in that way. So those fun little Elizabethan collars, the cones of shame, are very important. We have to stop the pet from further traumatizing those areas.
Okay.
Number two is I really want to dry that skin out, and that may take something like a course of antibiotics, as well as staying away from ointments and going more to water-based or alcohol-based sprays.
Okay.
The third thing that I want to do is I want to stop the scratch. And that, for hot spots, it's the one situation where I'm pretty heavy-handed with steroids. There's a lot of different ways we can go with that, injections, topicals, pill forms. But for me, a severe case of hot spots, or what we'd call pyotraumatic dermatitis, really needs the help of a steroid. And that's assuming that the patient's health can take that. But steroids are very important to help get that itch under control. So those three things for me are really the big thing. And the most important thing is I want to keep the skin breathing. So I don't want to cover it up. I don't want to bandage it. It may keep the pet away from it, but it's really not going to allow that to dry out. Let it breathe, if you will. So I like to kind of leave everything exposed so you can medicate and really monitor things closely. And for me, I'd say if you haven't gotten this baby on, at least an antibiotic and seeing the vet to see if you can get something to squash that itch, then those would be the two main things that I would do for you. And then, you know, if we've got more problems with this coming back, we want to look into other causes of hot spots, allergies, seasonal allergies, food-related allergies. Sometimes something like an insect bite or a sting could kind of trigger the process. Thyroid problems, ear infections. Wow, my list is getting longer the more I think about this. So not to overwhelm you there, Barbara, but there really are a lot of things that can go into that. So I'd encourage you getting your baby into the vet and see if we can get a couple of those things going for him.
Okay, thank you, because I thought I could, you know, my neighbor said, oh, you could treat it yourself, just use this spray. But then when I heard your program this morning, I said, I better call in and find out.
Yeah, and, you know, there is certainly a small population of pets with localized hotspots where I think treating at home with a topical product is completely appropriate. But many of these cases, they are very deep infections in the layers of the skin. The pet's really uncomfortable, and there's so much more that we can do to really kind of turn things around. And if your breed of dog is a Labrador Retriever, a German Shepherd, Collie, or Rottweiler, they are some of the most common dogs. Oh, I can't say Golden Retriever. I got to get them in there because they are so big with this type of problem.
Okay.
So, yeah. Well, hopefully we'll get this baby feeling better and stop that itching and scratching there.
Yes. Why, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thanks for your call today. I appreciate that, Barbara.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, this is Nicole Sullivan on Animal Radio. Please spay and neuter your pets, please.
Hi, it's Alan Kibble with today's dog tip.
I know he just did it because you can feel the tension.
That's my sister-in-law. She's living in the house with her in-laws, and there is a lot of anxiety and tension going on. So the dog jumped up on the in-laws' bed and went to the bathroom.
Trying to help them find how to clean it.
There are several reasons why dogs, especially adult ones, go to the bathroom in the house and anxiety. Well, that's one of them. And it can be caused by a sudden change in a dog's environment. Adding another pet to your house is another reason, even a baby. And to stop it, you kind of got to give your dog a refresher course. Do it the same way as when your dog was a puppy. You start with confinement. That means when you're not there, ready to give your dog 100% of your attention, keep them confined. Best place is in a crate. I remember in a past dog tip, we talked about how important structure is to your dog. So you make sure you have a schedule. You take your dog outside the same times every day. Adults can hold it in for a pretty long time, so set a schedule and stick to it every single day. The third step is reward. Reward's really important in a dog's life. Every time your dog's doing something that you want him to do, you give him a reward. If this is all starting to sound like techniques you'd use to raise your husband... Well, yeah, it is very similar. Let's talk about what a reward is. It could be a treat, or it just could be verbal praise. Oh, good dog, or both. And you can also give your dog a nice scratch under the chin. Praise is a really powerful tool. Remember, your dog wants to please you. You just have to help show him how. When you use praise, your dog is going to want to go to the bathroom outside in the right place. Here's the last thing to remember, consistency. That's probably the most important thing to remember. You want to set your dog up to succeed, not to fail. And consistency is the easiest way to do that. It's the key to your dog's success. And it's a byproduct to giving your dog confidence. Confidence in knowing he's doing the right thing. He's doing exactly what you want him to do. So be consistent, stick with your plan, and you're going to see fast results. The more consistent you are, the faster your dog's going to learn anything, including going to the bathroom outside. Oh boy, I think your husband had a little accident.
Yeah, his boss is still his wife.
Hi, this is Paul Rogers.
And Cynthia Rogers.
On Animal Radio.
Just know that it's going to be all right, meow.
All of us here at Fido Friendly Magazine can't wait to get on the road again with our favorite Fido. We know that it's just not a vacation without our furry companions by our side. Start daydreaming now and visit FidoFriendly.com to scout out places near and far so you will be ready for your next adventure once it's safe to travel. That's FidoFriendly.com. Until then, stay safe and leave no dog behind.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. Joining us right now is Kristen von Kreisler, and she joined us, it was 2003?
Yes.
For a book called 4B. Now, she's written a lot of really great nonfiction books that pioneered topics in animal emotion and morality, but her last few books have been fiction. Let me tell you, even though they're fiction, she does her research. Hi, Kristen, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. Your newest book, called A Reason for Hope, and Hope is the name of the dog, is about a courthouse dog. Are courthouse dogs really a thing?
Yeah, they are, and people don't know about them. And that's one reason why I wanted to put a courthouse dog in A Reason for Hope. But the courthouse dogs were invented here in Seattle, near where I live.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's a really interesting thing. So, yes, that's what is in the book.
So what do courthouse dogs do, though? I mean, are they like stenographers? Do they
Are they part of the jury? What do they actually
on
do?
On the jury, yeah. They sit in the jury box, Hal.
Well, they're the main thing that they're known for, but they do many things. But what they're known for is to comfort people while they're testifying in the witness box. Can you imagine? So stressful. So the handler of the dog brings the dog in waiting in the box before anybody else comes into the courtroom, and then the witness comes in. And the reason that the dog has to stay lying down, cannot stand up, because the jury cannot see the dog. And lawyers get freaky about this, because if they see the dog comforting somebody, then they have sympathy for the person that's being comforted.
I was a witness on a witness stand one time. I would have loved to have had a dog there.
I know. So,
I noticed in each in your book, you focus on a different breed of dog. You know, in A Healing Justice, it was a German Shepherd. And now A Reason for Hope, it is the Labrador Retriever. Yes. Is that because Labrador Retrievers are mainly used as courthouse dogs?
Yes, I think so. They're the only ones that I have seen here in the Pacific Northwest where I am. And the reason is because labs are extraordinary. I mean, now that I have my own, they are unflappable. They are calm. They are loving and sweet and just what people need when they're really under stressful situations. And so that's why I'm sure I don't know about the rest of the country, because this is getting to be a more and more common idea. But certainly here, they're all either labs or golden retriever lab combinations.
You know, I know a lot of people are fearful of German Shepherds and Doberman Pinschers. They kind of inflict a fear when you see them. But everybody loves a Labrador Retriever. Who can resist that?
I know. I've been volunteering with Northwest Assistance Dogs. That was part of the research I did. And how I got this beautiful lab I now have. And they are, they're just so, who knew they were so extraordinary.
So you actually have a courthouse dog in real life now, is that correct?
As of last week.
Oh.
I just adopted, when I was doing volunteering there, they have career change dogs, as they call them, instead of rejects. It's much more a proper term. So they had this dog who needed a career change, and the director asked me if I would like her, and I was beside myself because my beloved German Shepherd died about a month ago. I had no plan to get another dog for another year at least, but this one was so beautiful and wonderful I couldn't turn her down.
What's her name?
Her name is Ebby, for Ebony.
And so now this courthouse dog was a reject courthouse dog. What does that mean? That Ebby was making noise in the courtroom?
I have no idea. They don't tell me anything. But she, for some reason, they said that there was a bad match with the handler. So I don't know. But boy, I can't imagine that she would offend anybody. She's the sweetest dog I ever saw.
So let's talk a little bit about A Reason for Hope, which just came out. Tell us a little bit, without giving away, of course, the whole thing.
Yeah, I have to think about that. Yes. Well, it's about a woman who meets a man online and goes to his house the next weekend for dinner and has a terrible experience. And so it's not so much about the experience as about this woman's grit and spunk and the people she meets along the way while she tries to get justice.
Let's talk a little bit about you, if we can. You were following a grizzly bear once, is that correct?
Yes.
What was that for?
I was. It was for a Reader's Digest article. I used to be a staff writer there. And I went to hang gliding. I was interviewing an eagle that had lost a wing and was taken hang gliding, hanging in a little harness from the tip of the wing. So I went hang gliding to see what the eagle was experiencing.
Wow. So let me get this straight. This is an eagle that had was missing a wing, and they've adapted it so that it could fly on a hang glider?
Yes, exactly. This fabulous man had this little harness made for it, and it's a long story, but that was one of the big thrills of my life.
Mm. Wow, that's awesome. It gives me goosebumps.
It does. It does. Yes. And I'm very excited about this new one, A Reason for Hope. It's available at Amazon or your favorite bookstore, and I actually have 10 copies to give away right now if you want to call me.
Great.
on the free Animal Radio app for iPhone or Android. I'll get you a copy. If you're not lucky enough to get on through, head on over to Amazon or your favorite bookstore and ask for A Reason for Hope. And the author joining us right now, Kristin von Kreisler, that's spelled K-R-E-I-S-L-E-R. We'll put all this information over at the website at animalradio.com. Thank you so much for not only bringing these wonderful books to our awareness and bringing, like, the courthouse dog to our awareness.
I'm so glad that I want people to know about them and all this beautiful work that they do, because it really is comforting people in all sorts of horrible situations. And they snuggle, they kiss, they do everything.
It makes me wonder where else we should be putting these wonderful dogs and what other environments where people are stressed.
Everywhere.
Kristin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, both of you. It has been a pleasure.
We're in for a treat with The 12 Days of Snowball by Kristin McKenna, a heartwarming novel partly told from the perspective of a mischievous feline named Snowball. Snowball considers herself the official matchmaker for any lonely humans in her life, and it's a job she takes very seriously. The 12 Days of Snowball by Kristin McKenna is available everywhere books are sold. For more info, visit KristinMcKenna.com. That's KristinMcKenna.com.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Lori Brooks. The federal stalking law is getting an update to include threats made against pets and emotional support animals. Wow. Senator Gary Peters of Michigan managed to get his proposal, which adds threats and violence against a person's pets to the stalking statute, included in this year's farm bill. So under the law, threatening or harming a pet as a way to harass or intimidate a victim is punishable by up to 5 years in prison. The measure also authorizes spending $3 million a year over the next 5 years to help shelters for victims of domestic violence that include facilities for pets. We've talked about that several times, but right now, only 3% of women's shelters across the U.S. accept pets. A study in Wisconsin says that the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, the ASPCA, found that more than two-thirds of domestic violence survivors said their abusers had also been violent toward their pets or service animals. Other studies say as many as 25% of domestic violence survivors actually returned to abusive partners out of concern for their pets that they couldn't take with them when they had left. The Better Business Bureau's scam tracker has seen an increase in people losing money to pet scams, and they're not surprised, as it's kind of typical around the holidays. Here's how those scams usually work. You find an adorable puppy on a website or an ad online. Scammers claim that they're breeders or act like a pet owner who has to find a new home for that pet. And then once you've seen the pictures and videos and you've fallen in love with the animal, they ask you to wire the money to make the purchase and make it final. But once the purchase is complete, that is that you have sent the money by wire, the owner promises your dog or cat will be shipped right away. But then there's always seems to be these unexpected problems with airlines, vets, and pet insurance and all that. And with each problem, the scammer promises that they are going to refund the unexpected cost as soon as your pet is delivered. But the pet is never delivered, of course, because they don't really have that pet in that video or in those photos that they're showing you. Experts say never ever wire money to anyone you don't know personally, and to make sure you see that pet in person before you pay for anything.
It's so easy. You look at those pictures. They're like so cute. It's so easy to get swayed to send money.
That's how I found Ladybug online. I saw pictures, but she was at a shelter, and I went down there and saw her, physically saw her.
Yes.
And you didn't have to wire money, right? Because wiring, they say once you wire money, that money is gone forever.
Yeah. Wow. That should be a red flag. Yeah. Wiring money or Bitcoin, either one of those.
Yeah. Okay, guys, the annual Rover.com list of the most popular dog names of the year is out, and we have them for you, starting with male dog names and going up the list from number 5 to 1. At number 5 is Jack. Buddy comes in at number 4. In third place is Cooper. know a few of those. Charlie takes the number two spot. And the most popular male dog name of the year is... Any guesses?
Probably the same one it's been for years, which is Max.
You got it, Judy.
It doesn't exactly change. Right.
Or Bella.
Yeah.
That's her Bella.
Yeah, wait, we're going to tell you the girls' names here. So the girls, same way here. Number five is Lola. Daisy is at number four. In third place is Luna. The name Lucy is in second place. And at number one, Dr. Debbie, you said it.
Oh, cool. Bella.
Bella. No surprise there. I'm Lori Brooks. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. And Joey Villani, not a week goes by that he doesn't talk about Bijou's Law and the amazing legislation that's happening in New Jersey. You said we had to get Rosemary on, Rosemary Marchetto. She is yes, the inspiration, the human behind this, and we do have her on the phone today. Hi, Rosemary, how are you doing?
Hi, good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, so now tell us about the whole story. I guess Bijou was your dog?
Yes. My dog, Bijou, was a very healthy six-year-old Shih Tzu that I brought into a very well-known pet store chain for a routine grooming. And the groomer said to me, I hope this dog doesn't give me a hard time. I had a bad day.
Oh, wow. And this is before everything. This is before Easter. Okay.
I'm giving it to you right from the beginning. And, I didn't expect the outcome to be what it became. But sure enough, within 45 minutes, they called me to tell me that Bijou was dead.
What?
What had happened?
They would not disclose to me what had happened. They did not let me speak to the groomer, nor the store manager. So at that point, I called the police to come and make a police report because I needed some kind of documentation as to what was happening.
Sure.
Then I eventually took it into my own hands after I found out a little closer that I found out that dog groomers aren't licensed. And here I am thinking that I did the right thing by bringing Bijou to a very well-known pet store chain, thinking, if anything, I was protected by them.
Sure, sure.
And clearly that wasn't the case, and that's how Bijou's bill started to come together. I went to my local assembly person, Valerie Venieri Huddle, for which I had a conversation with her, and I told her what had happened to me, and I explained to her that there are no laws that require dog groomers to be licensed.
Was she surprised by that?
She was appalled.
Okay.
I mean, everybody who I tell the story to, invariably, the first thing they say is, oh, dog groomers aren't licensed? When we live in a world where your male technician is licensed, your locksmith is licensed, it's hard to believe that people who groom your dogs do not require any kind of licensure. As a matter of fact, not only in New Jersey, but in most of the country, if not, I think only two states require licensure at this point for dog groomers.
Now, what does it mean when it's state licensed? Do they got to take a test? They got to be a certain age? What's the deal?
Yes. If somebody wanted to be a licensed groomer, they would take a practical and written test that is given by the state. Upon completion, they would apply for a license that would cost about $50, depends again on the state, and you would be a licensed professional, like a nurse or anybody else who requires a license to practice their craft.
Were you able to get Bijou's remains back and do a necropsy on him?
I did. And for reasons, obviously, reasons that have to do with the lawsuit, I can't talk about that. But, yes, they took complete liability.
And did you find out what happened? Are you comfortable with that, knowing what happened, or you still don't know exactly what happened with Bijou?
I still don't know exactly what happened because nobody completely explained it to me. But the fact that they took liability and the fact that the groom said to me, I hope this dog doesn't give me a hard time, I had a bad day,
sort of seems a little suspect to me, because I never expected to get this kind of an outcome by just taking my dog in for a routine grooming.
By the way, that would have been my red flag, is I'm having a bad day. I would have turned around right at that point.
Of course. Hindsight's 20/20, but at the time, you know, you're thinking, oh, the guy's just blown off a little steam. You're not really thinking he's going to kill my dog.
Yeah, we all have bad days now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed. How long ago was this, Rosemary? Because I can't believe that that was your child, as I feel about my animals, and we all do here. Yeah. But how long ago was that, and that you still don't know?
Bijou died January 11th, 2012. Wow. I started pursuing legislation in 2014. So it made it through the assembly once before. But I have to give some credit where credit is due to NewJersey.com. NewJersey.com put out an investigative report where they found a desk of 47 dogs at some of these big box chains. And that sort of lit the fire under the bill for the bill to start coming back into focus again and to get it through to the General Assembly here in New Jersey.
You know, all of the anger aside, because believe me, I would be through the roof, but... Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I can't even imagine.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, I've been working closely with Rosemary and the Assembly, and I am a big supporter of this bill and hope that it, you know, goes through its final stages, which we don't see anything that's going to stop it. It went through the Assembly like a freight train where there was nobody that was against it. You know, when I said it politician-wise, and probably going to do the same thing in the Senate. But my big issue was is because, as you guys know, my claim to fame in the industry is owning schools. So we had to go through all the process and everything that we needed to go through to make sure that pets were safe, pets were groomed properly. And it always bothered me that if somebody would come in and pay the freight to do what is right, and then the next door neighbor could open up a salon and call themselves a groomer because there was no safeguards in place.
Hold on, guys. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Check out Animal Radio highlights, all the good stuff without the blah, blah, blah. Browse on over to animalradio.pet.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. 800-485-4409. That's 800-485-4409.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Morgan reminding you to please spay or neuter your pets.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Find us at animalradio.com. Log on, learn more.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. If you just tuned in, we're talking about regulating and licensing groomers, because currently they are not. This all spurred after incidents where dogs were dropped off at the groomer, and it turned out to be a fatal trip for these pets. Joining us is Rosemary Marchetto, and she, along with Joey, our very own Joey Villani, have worked very hard to regulate and get licensing for pet groomers. Rosemary created Bijou's Law after her dog that was killed at one of those local chain box stores in their grooming department. And of course, if you're a regular listener, you know that Joey is pretty passionate about this.
by putting a license on a pet groomer, it's not a straitjacket for them. What it's going to do, it's going to make them an educated professional. So when they are using equipment, when they're just learning how to pick a dog up, because there's a problem. I mean, in my school, we had to teach you the proper way to pick a dog up and put it on the table. Something that sounds so meaningless is so important. Not to walk away or turn your back to when they're on it. I mean, just little things. But you want to know something? If you do not practice it and you don't study it, you don't know it. And I'm not saying that people want things to happen to their clients' pets, but because they're not educated and there's no safeguards in place, it happens. So now Rosemary is pioneering something that could be wonderful for everyone's dogs. I mean, think of all the pet owners out there that didn't know what was going on. And like I said, I was an advocate from the very beginning where we needed some sort of safeguard. Now it's out there. So unfortunately, I mean, Bijou did not pass in vain, because this is going to protect so many pets out there, and it's well needed. And thank you, Rosemary, for actually stepping up to the plate, and because she's been under attack, and I will tell you that, because I know that as a fact.
Thank you, Joey. Thank you so much.
Who's attacking her?
Well, you have a lot of, I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of people. And when I say a lot of people, I'm not saying the majority, but there's a good majority of people in my industry that they're not looking at the big picture. And a lot of them are probably very good groomers that are safe. And they're the ones that are saying, you know, this is going to be a hardship on us. And it's not. It's not going to be a hardship at all. It's a change in how you do things. And I know I've said this a million times. It's the seatbelt law. We never liked wearing a seatbelt. And then now if we don't wear it, we feel naked. So the pet groomers that are against this need to just rethink it. This is about keeping pets safe. That's it. That is what this is about. It's about keeping pets safe. And let's remember that that is the issue on hand. And we're still going to make money, and we're still going to do what we do every day, and we're still going to love it for the people who love it. And the people who don't like it, you know what? You shouldn't be doing it anyway, because it's not for everyone. You have to be a pet lover. And, you know, if you're a pet lover, you want them safe. So it's important.
Now, is this bill just for New Jersey, or is it nationwide?
Currently, it's just in New Jersey. I actually have it on Assemblyman Lowe's desk out in California. And North Carolina is also looking at it at the moment.
Shouldn't there also be, in my opinion, I'm still blown away by this, that maybe there should be a bill that these people can't get away with having your dog die in their custody and not telling you how or why.
I would be insane. That would have been nice. Yes, full disclosure. If that happens, well, we're hoping to actually prevent this from happening by putting licensed groomers in place so that we have professionals and not somebody who took a part-time job on the weekends to groom your dog, which is what actually can be done now, because there's nothing in place to stop that.
So I see a picture here of one of your billboards. One of the billboards that says, help us regulate pet grooming. Who pays for these billboards?
That billboard was actually at a test down in North Carolina, and I paid for that billboard out of pocket.
Okay. And your lawsuit, what are you asking for in your lawsuit?
Well, for the lawsuit, I sued for the maximum amount, which right now in most states, I believe in all states, but right now in New Jersey is $10,000. That's the maximum, because they consider dogs property right now.
Yeah.
So there's a cap. Another bill that I'm trying to pass after Bijou's bill would be called the Sentient Being Act. And the Sentient Being Act is actually enacted in several countries right now, and maybe even some states, that would remove ownership. In other words, a dog wouldn't be seen as a piece of furniture, but rather as a living being. And that might change things, where, if, God forbid, something happens, you have a different way of going about this based on who your lawyer is. And, again, this is really not about suing. This is about preventing dogs from dying so that we don't get to that stage, so that everybody could take a lesson from what I've been through and what these other 47 people that have been through, and prevent this from happening going forward.
Okay, what's the website?
It's Bijou's Bill, BijouBill.com.
And we'll put links to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.pet. Rosemary Marchetto, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you so much for letting Bijou's life live on. I mean, it really, it wasn't in vain. You know, he's
making... a legacy.
This will be his legacy.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Okay, it is time for us to hop on out of here. Thanks for joining us today. If you need your fix during the week or there's something you heard in the show you want to know more about, head on over to animalradio.pet. And of course, if you have a Yorkshire Terrier, a Shih Tzu, a Pug, or a Mini Schnauzer, Dr. Debbie's books, How to Be Your Dog's Best Friends, are great Kindle reads over at Amazon. And of course, we have links to that at animalradio.pet. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
This is Animal Radio Network.